Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio program. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. I've said many times on the radio program and different discussions that we've had on here, I've said that there really are only two religions in the world. Sometimes we talk about the nuances of difference between them. But really, when you boil it all down, there's really only two religions in the world. One religion is a religion that is given to us by God. It is God's way. And another one is man's way. Another way that I've said that is that all the religions of the world can all be boiled down to just two categories. One is the religion of human achievement, man doing something to earn salvation or acceptance with God. And the other is the religion of divine achievement. That's the religion of Christianity, that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but Jesus washed it white as snow, where he has done the work for us and his atonement and the earning of a perfect righteousness on our behalf and so forth in the gospel message. But when we talk about the Christianity versus other religions, it's very helpful to know what some of the nuances, the beliefs are, the claims that are made by those various world religions. And so a new book that is just being released caught my eye. The title of it is World Religions and Cults, Counterfeits of Christianity. And it's a book that the general editors are Bodie Hodge and Roger Patterson. And this book just looked really interesting to me because it covered a number of the counterfeits to Christianity that we see in the world today. And I thought that it would be very helpful for us to talk about it a little bit on the program. Bodie Hodge is joining us now. Bodie's been with me before on the broadcast talking about some of his other books. But Bodie, just for our listeners' sake, is a speaker, a writer, and a researcher for Answers in Genesis. And as I mentioned, we've talked about some of his other books here on the broadcast, including Confound the Critics, The Fall of Satan, and also Dragons, Legends, and the Lore of Dinosaurs. Bodie, it's a pleasure to have you back on the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Hey, it's great to be back on the show, Kevin.
Well, let's talk about, first of all, I made that opening statement there about, in one way, all the religions of the world can just be boiled down into two categories. Would you agree?
Absolutely. In fact, that's our opening chapter in the book, that there are only two religions. And I know that strikes people funny because they're like, what? I see hosts of religions all over the world. But what they don't understand is all false religions can be lumped into one religion. And really, the way I like to put it is there's two religions. There's God's religion, the right one, and then all the false ones put together, which are man's religion.
Mm. Your opening chapter, or at least in the introduction there, you talk a little bit about that. But then you start with the idea of defending the faith and approaching world religions. It made me right away think about our study that I've been teaching through and preaching through on Sunday morning in the book of Jude, where he talks about earnestly contending for the faith. Here you've got defending the faith, very similar. Tell us a little bit about what the readers or listeners will find when they read that chapter.
Well, one of the things that that the author did with that was he basically put us in a mindset of starting with God's Word to look at all other religions. So often we just want to put Christianity out there with all the other religions and then we just want to judge and decide which one we think is right, but that's actually not the right method. We should be trying to think God's thoughts after him and that way look at all these world religions in light of what God has to say. You see, God is always right. God knows all things. And so it's good for us to follow after what God has to say when we look at all these different viewpoints floating around out there. But it's a powerful way of just turning around and looking at things in light of what God has to say, starting with God and His Word.
Amen. In a similar fashion to what I've found in the book of Jude as we've been going through it, you start with defining what Christianity is. Before you go, Jude ends up going on then to denounce the apostates of it. He starts with a definition of it. There is a identifiable body of truth that needs to be believed in order to be considered a Christian. It's not just a fuzzy feeling. It's not just, you know, an emotional high that you have at a tent meeting or something. Mm-hmm. There is an identifiable body of belief. There's some doctrine associated with being a Christian, right?
That's exactly right. And in fact, that's probably one of the most extensive and most well thought out chapters for the entire book series. And the reason for that is because we need to explain to people what biblical Christianity is. A lot of us have grown up in the church and we're just so accustomed to it that we don't actually step back and say, well, what is it? And essentially all other chapters then will be standing against this one chapter in the book.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you're talking about doing that, you're talking about discernment and you're talking about, in some ways, judging. And we live in a society today that even among many in evangelicalism, they will immediately say, well, you're judging, as if the Christian shouldn't judge. And they misinterpret the passage there in Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus said, do not judge. You know, but he is talking about hypocritical judging. He's saying if you are committing the same sins that you're speaking out against, you're a hypocrite and you shouldn't judge. But Christians are also commanded to judge by Christ, right? Make righteous judgment.
That's right. Yeah, a lot of people, they just pull that out of the woodwork and they assume, oh, judge not lest you be judged, you know, so you Christians shouldn't judge. But you're right, they pulled that totally out of context. When people are judging in the wrong fashion, that's where we're not supposed to judge in that type of fashion. We are called to make righteous judgments. In fact, that's what makes apologetics so powerful, is that we actually go out there and we look at creation, we go back and we look at world religions, we go back and look at things like miracles and the resurrection, and we defend these things by standing on the authority of the Word of God and making righteous judgments.
Mm. Well, your colleague, Terry Mortensen, mutual friends of ours, I was able to spend a little over a week in the Grand Canyon with Terry on one of the Answers in Genesis leadership tours that they did there. Is excellent. Highlight of my life. It was really a great time.
A neat trip. I've been down as well.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And Terry starts off here. Boy, the heavy hitter right up front here, swinging for the fence. He is, we're like-minded on this as well, but he talks about how Roman Catholicism is different. I've got to get Terry on maybe just to do one broadcast just on what he writes here. But most people, especially I'm finding here in the South, they kind of feel that Roman Catholicism is just another denomination, and they don't realize that Roman Catholicism is actually another religion. Now, that statement right there is going to get both you and me in trouble, but that's the truth.
Yeah, I tell you what, you know, Terry handled the subject very well, I thought. When you read through the chapter, you know, a lot of people, you know, they have that mindset. They think, well, Roman Catholicism is no different from, say, a Baptist or a Presbyterian, but that's actually quite a big difference. I mean, there was a huge split. That's what the Reformation was all about, was to say, hey, let's get back to the Bible, because Rome has started to deviate from some of the teachings in the Bible. And I tell you what, that led to some pretty big deals. Now another thing is, I think a lot of Christians, you know, Protestant Christians, that is, they don't understand what Roman Catholicism is, why they believe certain things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, monks and nuns, for example. We don't have monks and nuns, you know, in, say, a Presbyterian church or a Baptist church or a Methodist church. And yet you have that in the Roman Catholic Church. One of the things I thought that Dr. Mortensen did so well when he's explaining what Roman Catholicism is and why it's different from biblical Christianity is he explains where a lot of those elements come from. Why do they have Jesuits? Why do they have monks? Why do they have nuns? And, you know, why that's different from, say, biblical position.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's quite powerful. If people want to understand what that position is, I'll tell you, Terry did a great job. It's done tastefully as well. But I didn't expect anything less from Dr. Mortensen. He's an excellent researcher and quite studious on that.
Yes. My family was Catholic, or some are still Catholic, and up north, and obviously I lived in an Irish Catholic neighborhood up there, so just about everybody in the neighborhood was Catholic, and went to a Catholic high school, grammar school, and so forth. So I'm very familiar with Catholicism, and I would just say that many people in evangelicalism are very naive about what is being taught there, and primarily Dr. Mortensen focuses in on this. Yes, there are huge, many and various elements that are not biblical that are associated with Roman Catholicism, but the crux of the matter is what they believe concerning salvation. Mm-hmm. And concerning salvation, there's a statement in the Baltimore Catechism that says that if anybody believes about that justification is by faith alone in Christ alone, that person is anathema. You have the anathema of the Pope and the Catholic Church upon you, meaning that you're accursed. And when you compare that with Paul's writing, Paul says if anybody preaches anything different than justification by faith in Christ alone, let that person be anathema. So you've got to decide, do you want to be under the Pope's anathema or do you want to be under the Apostle Paul's anathema? And to me, that's a pretty easy decision to make.
That's right. And you know what? We want to encourage, a lot of people out there that may have a Roman Catholic background or have been involved in that or might identify, as being Roman Catholic, we want to encourage them to actually step back and say, well, what is biblical Christianity?
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into the Bible and see what the Bible actually says on that.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some relatives just like you, that have been involved in Catholicism. I've seen a lot of people come out of Catholicism and they get pretty excited about getting into the Bible a lot.
So
we do want to encourage people to step back. Let's go back and see what the Bible says on many of these doctrinal issues.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Once you open up the Scripture, like Martin Luther, mm-hmm. Where he opened up the Word of God as an Augustinian monk, and when he read the just shall live by faith, he was liberated by the Spirit of God and gloriously saved, and obviously played that critical role in the Reformation. Mm-hmm. The issue is now, though, that we're hearing, not just with the RCC, but in other religions as well, that that in the ecumenical movement, they're saying that none of this really matters, that we all need, Jesus wants us all to be one, and so we need to drop these distinctions that there are between religions, and Christianity needs to stop talking about being an exclusive way of salvation. And if we do this, the world will stand up and take note. They'll listen to the message that we have. We'll, all the social ills will be taken care of, and the world will be a wonderful place. You say?
Oh, boy, we've heard that over and over again, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the past, the world, by and large, wants us to just step away from the Bible, step away from its teachings, and then they'll say, oh, well, we'll embrace you, and then we can go from strength to strength. But you know what? Anytime you give up God and His Word for the ideas of man, you've already faltered. Because really, that goes back to that crux of the debate. There's two religions, God's and not God's.
Mm.
And people are more than happy for you to believe all sorts of stuff as long as it's not the truth. And what we need to do is step back and say, no, we're going to stand on the truth. We're going to stand on what the Holy Spirit has written to us. And so, we need to watch out for some of those types of movements that say, hey, let's just set a lot of this doctrine aside. Let's just leave a lot of this stuff out of there and just get along. Boy, that becomes the problem.
Mm-hmm. They try to reduce it to the lowest common denominator. Mm-hmm. They just say, well, you believe in Jesus, I believe in Jesus. So let's just leave it at that. That doctrine is dead and doctrine divides and so forth. But right away the question is, what Jesus? What do
That's
you
right.
believe about Jesus? And immediately we're thrust upon, and rightfully so. That's why we have 66 books of the Bible,
exactly
chocked
right.
full of doctrine as to what we are to believe concerning Christ and salvation and God and ourselves and the environment and everything else.
It's interesting too. Just to kind of build on that just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
When it talks about that unity in the, in the Scriptures, which it does talk about there, we're supposed
John
to have
17,
unity among
yeah.
believers, but we're supposed to unify on the Word of God.
Amen.
And what's happening is people are saying, well, let's unify, but let's do it for the sake of unity, but not on the Word of God. That really is an attack on God and His Word.
Exactly. It comes in John 17 there with Christ in the high priestly prayer, and He says, may they be one as we are one.
Mm-hmm.
So they're one in essence, and they're one in doctrine. They're one in teaching. They're one in mind, in the eternal Trinity. It's not the what causes division is when people disagree and seek to destroy the Scriptures. There's where the division is caused, and we need to call for people to believe what God has written, because obviously as our Creator, He demands that of us and deserves that from us, but also obviously within Christianity itself, those that have been saved as well, they need to look to what the Lord is telling them in His Word. Bodie, in chapter 6, you and Roger Patterson write about counterfeits of Christianity. That's interesting. All of these are really counterfeits of the reality that is found in Christ and Christianity, right?
That's right, at least this book's particular focus. Just to give the listeners a greater understanding, World Religions and Cults, this is Volume 1, looking at counterfeits of Christianity. Overall, we're going to do 3 volumes all total. And yet we've broken religions into 4 parts. So that all those false religions that get summed up into one, they're broken into 4 categories. One is counterfeits of Christianity, something that looks or acts something like Christianity but has deviated. The second volume is actually going to contain 2 of those breakdowns. That will be the moralistic, mythical religions, as well as the mystical religions. Think of Hinduism or Taoism. A lot of the Eastern thought. And then the final volume will encompass the materialistic or atheistic or humanistic religions, like atheism, agnosticism, Epicureanism, and many things like that. So, yeah, this first volume, we actually hit quite a few of these counterfeits of Christianity, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, Baha'i, if you've heard of that, Zoroastrianism, even Satanism, things like that. That's what we're focusing on. So hopefully our listeners get a little bit better understanding of the book we're talking about here.
Right. I don't want to, there's a lot in this book, and it's hard to go over, so we're just trying to whet their appetite and let them see what's going to be here. But there's a couple that they probably would expect here. Obviously, you've got Islam and Jehovah's Witnesses and so forth. Here's a couple, though, that may, again, along with like Roman Catholicism, may be more surprising to people.
Mm-hmm.
Judaism.
Judaism.
I just went through and preached through the book of Hebrews for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
And as we were going through and looking at that, what does people think? Well, we believe in the Judeo-Christian ethic and so forth. So they kind of almost lumped Judaism in with Christianity, but there's a very clear distinction between the two, right?
That's right. There really is. And granted, out of a lot of the religions out there, Judaism probably shares an awful lot with Christianity. In both instances, we hold to the Old Testament. Where there's a big division is really when it comes to things like the New Testament.
Mm.
Christians see the New Testament as the fulfillment of the Old Testament that's pointing toward Christ and His fulfillment, where what happened in Judaism is about that same time is they took the traditions of men. What those are, that's like the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud or the Jerusalem Talmud. Those are the oral traditions of how you look at things like the Old Testament, and then that has been elevated to basically become their New Testament. So they've rejected the New Testament, they've added the Talmud, and that has become essentially their official scripture. So naturally there's going to be deviations from that point forward.
This upcoming Lord's Day, Lord willing, I'll be addressing that text in Jude 5, where it says this. He begins to give 3 examples of the end of apostasy, and the first one is found in the unbelieving Jews. He says this, "I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not." So here we have people that were given a tremendous amount of privilege from the Lord. He was His chosen people upon the face of the earth. And yet we find afterwards, because of their unbelief and disobedience of God, even after being delivered from Egypt, that the Lord destroyed them because they rejected His way of salvation, and they were looking towards, as we pointed out in the beginning here, a man's way of salvation through the keeping of the law or whatever, and versus God's way through the grace of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So there's a marked difference between those two. Let me ask you another one here that people may be surprised to see here is in chapter 14, Freemasonry. Mm-hmm. Now, that seemed to be bigger years ago. You don't normally run into many people today that talk about being a Mason, but what was the basic belief system there?
Right. Well, you know, a lot has changed in Freemasonry. You know, if you go back to the 1700s and some of the initial documents with Freemasonry, you know, really what it was is as long as you believed in God, you know, that basic understanding, you know, you could essentially become a Freemason. And you know what? There's a lot of Christians who have gotten involved in Freemasonry over the years. Fact is, it wouldn't surprise me if there's still a lot of Christians involved in it even today. But what's happened is their doctrinal positions have essentially changed. Basically, you can believe in God, you can believe in Jesus and be a Freemason. You just, that's not the supreme being necessarily within Freemasonry today. Mm. And, you know, so, I mean, we've seen a lot of shifts within Freemasonry. I think a lot of people, a lot of Christians sometimes seek Freemasonry thinking, oh, well, these are the people that can take care of my family or look after them after I'm gone. But you know what? That's really what the church should be doing.
Mm. Amen.
In one sense, it's kind of tried to replace the church.
That's right. We see a lot of that with some of the parachurch groups where it ends up, and in this case, actually a false religion, but trying to usurp some of the roles that are there by the that should be taken care of by the church. I guess the idea, there's a little bit of a confrontation there, I think, to us and a conviction that maybe there's a vacuum created when that type of work isn't being done by the church.
Well, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would suggest that not just with Freemasonry, but with a host of other religions, too. Sometimes people look out and say, well, look, these guys are doing a good job over here. I like that element. You know what? The church should have been doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by and large, the church, you know, if we just look at the church in the last couple hundred years, the church has had it easy. Mm-hmm. It's not like we had to sit down and train the next generation about science or philosophy or logic or history. By and large, what happened was we'd set up schools to teach that sort of stuff, so the church didn't have to do it. The Bible was used in schools. The Bible was used to teach logic and philosophy and history and science and things like that. But what's happened is there's been a shift in our public school system, for example. They've taken the Bible out. They've taken prayer out. They've kicked God out. And now you're looking at all these different subjects from a different religious perspective. But what's the church done to respond to that? Mm-hmm. You know, are we out there teaching the kids philosophy and logic and science from the Bible? No, we're not. You know, so we've even missed those elements, not just these other elements that, say, Freemasonry has started to pick up. So really, by and large, as a whole, the church really needs, I think, to step up and really start hitting a lot of things that we've missed over the years.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it really creates kind of a cultural Christianity and not something with any real depth to it as well. You know, you started talking about Freemasonry, about, well, they just as long as you believed in God. Well, that kind of became the mentality of Christianity as a whole for a large part. Yep. It was just, what was it, theistic, moralistic deism that they came out with that book that did a survey on a number of years ago. Mm-hmm. Bodhi, let me ask you a final question here. You know, who do you feel would most benefit from reading a book like this?
Well, first off, I would suggest Christians. You know, I've had people say, did you write this book for Christians? Did you write it for the secularists? I mean, don't get me wrong, a secularist or somebody who's not a Christian can easily read this book and understand an awful lot. In fact, they would get a much better understanding, I think, of Christianity and how we look at different religions. But I would suggest this book is for the person in the pew, someone who's sitting out there going, hey, you know, there's all these world religions and cults. I don't understand them. Where do I get started with this? And here's a great example of this. Before I even got a copy of this book, my grandmother had pre-ordered a copy of it, and so she got a copy of it before I did. Well, she called me up the very next day, and she said she can't put the book down. And, you know, my grandmother, you know, she's not an educated lady. She's, you know, she was a hard-working lady back in the old days, and she struggles reading, but this has been powerful for her. She's been able to get this. And what's unique about this book is we've actually worked with a number of college professors, some who are presidents of colleges and seminaries. We've worked with apologists. In fact, one of the authors on here is actually a congressman, which might surprise some people as well. But we've worked with a wonderful list of people, and we told them, hey, write this book so that the general person can understand it. But we also want it where it dives into some of the details enough to where, hey, you know what, something like this could even be used at a college level. So I would suggest, you know, People who are laymen would have no problem with this book, but then people who really want to dive into these subjects and get a little bit more detail, someone maybe a student or a leader in the church, this would be no problem for them either.
Well done, Bodhi. It looks really good. I got a copy of it here in my hand as well. Haven't had a chance to read all the way through it, just skimmed through some of the sections there. But it does look very readable, that's for sure. And I think that it's a great place to start. And people want to go deeper, obviously they can do that. But this is a give you a good overview of some of these religions that are mentioned here, these counterfeits of Christianity. So we appreciate you writing it again, and appreciate you taking the time out to talk with us today.
Hey, no problem, Kevin. God bless you and keep up the great work.
All right. You're welcome, my friend. That was Bodhi Hodge. And Bodhi, as I mentioned at the top of the broadcast, he is a speaker, writer, and researcher for Answers in Genesis. And the book that we've been talking about is entitled World Religions and Cults. And then the subtitle is Counterfeits of Christianity. Bodhi Hodge and Roger Patterson are the general editors. We mentioned a couple of the other names associated in the book there as well, like Terry Mortensen and others that have written these different chapters in here. But I don't think you'd be disappointed. I think it gives you a good overview to start with. And then, like I said, if you wanted to go much deeper than that, obviously you could zero in on a certain topic and go even deeper.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.